The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
On a Sabbath day, Jesus had gone for a meal to the house of one of the leading Pharisees, and they watched him closely. He then told the guests a parable, because he had noticed how they picked the places of honor. He said this: "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take your seat in the place of honor. A more distinguished person than you may have been invited, and the person who invited you both may come and say, 'Give up your place to this man.' And then, to your embarrassment, you would have to go and take the lowest place. No, when you are a guest, make your way to the lowest place and sit there, so that when your host comes, he may say, 'My friend, move up higher.' In that way, everyone with you at the table will see you honored. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the man who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he said to his host, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not ask your friends, brothers, relations, or rich neighbors, for fear they repay your courtesy by inviting you in return. No, when you have a party, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. That they cannot pay you back means that you are fortunate, because repayment will be made to you when the virtuous rise again." The Gospel of the Lord. What is it about the human condition that makes us vie for rank? What makes us want to know who is the greatest? Or what makes us so insecure that we need people to be affirming us based on a wide range of factors? Maybe our educational background, or our family, or our class, or other things. And of course, some human beings claim the title for themselves. You'll remember the former boxing heavyweight champion Cassius Clay, whose battle cry famously was, "I am the greatest." It's a question that often surfaces in the school playground. My dad, my mum, my teacher, my this, or even I, am greater than their classmates. And of course, that then spreads and echoes throughout people's lives, because you get it in the workplace, you get it in the boardroom, you get it on the factory floor, you get it in the pub. So Jesus being invited to dine at the Pharisee's house, that wasn't an unusual occurrence. But in today's encounter, St. Luke tells us that this individual that had invited Jesus was a prominent Pharisee, a man we can deduce of some status and social standing. Now, of course, Jesus, as you know, mixed with anybody. He was comfortable with the rich. He was comfortable with the poor. He reached out to people, whoever they were, wherever they were, and whatever, he discerned their needs. But in this Pharisee's home today, he clearly discerned that they needed to hear about humility. Luke highlights the fact that already he'd seen them vying for seats, to which would mark them out as the most important there. So, question, was that something he also faced at the Last Supper? Because you may remember at the Last Supper it says a dispute arose among them about which of them was regarded as the latest. Other Gospels have that elsewhere, but one of the Gospels certainly has it occurring on that occasion. And of course, what you know, in every church, a dispute will arise at some point when perhaps some visitor comes to sit in the seat that's yours, because you've sat there for the last, I don't know, 50 years. Even if it's 5 weeks, you still think it's yours. And then, of course, we get all the squabbles, the confrontation, shocking behavior sometimes in the house of the Lord that shouldn't be, and often there's something so simple. And yet, it's brought out there in the gospel for us. So humility, a virtue that's essential for being and living a Christian life. It's a fundamental. It's not modesty, it's more than that. It's also not having a low opinion about yourself, because that's not really humility. Humility is really facing the truth about who we are and who we are before God. Most of us are aware that we fail. We fail in many different ways. We've failed to achieve the ideal. We go on failing. That's why every time we come in and we meet together as a family, we say, "I confess," or the similar words, but throwing ourselves on the mercy of God, "Lord, have mercy." Kyrie eleison. If we fail to reach the ideal, failure, it's a bit like restlessness. It can actually be a friend, because its role is to introduce us to humility. In a few weeks' time, we shall get the gospel that the two men enter the temple to pray. One of them stands at the front and catalogues to God all the good things that he does, and the other one sits at the back, or stands or kneels at the back, and says, "Lord, have mercy to me, a sinner." That failure, it's actually humbling ourselves before the Lord. And of course, it's a beautiful virtue to be humble, but it's very difficult to, as it were, to acquire, because it hurts to be criticized. It hurts to be misunderstood. It hurts to be misjudged. It hurts to be snubbed. It hurts to be written off. But they are the things on the high road to humility. None of us enjoy walking that way, but as I say, it forces us to look afresh at ourselves, but also to cast ourselves on the mercy of God. Another word that may help in that way might be sort of a freedom. It gives us maybe an inner freedom. Because freedom from what? From self-seeking, from self-regarding, from self-indulgence, from being self-opinionated. That's very much the way of the world. But the Christian has to learn that we're not self-centered, as I'm ever saying to you, we're the eye crossed out, the eye of the cross crossed out, and we're Christ-centered, God-centered, so that our lives may be dedicated to God and not an exaltation of ourselves. And so, of course, the master of humility, the preeminent model of humility, Jesus himself. St. Paul says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, humbled for a season to receive a name. And he then gives us that freedom that I spoke about to find him who is the source of all our desires, God himself. So the consciousness of failure and frailty shouldn't lead to despondency, but rather complete trust in God, because that's exactly what he knows are like. And often, those of you that come to the confession often say, God loves us. He knows what we're like. He made us. We belong to him. And what Jesus said is compassionate and merciful, and he's kind and he's loving. And therefore, we can humble ourselves before him. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. At the end of the day, it won't matter what anybody else thinks. But it will matter what the Lord thinks. We can humble ourselves before him. The wise men who came from the East were learned people, people of high position. But their wisdom and their learning enabled them to stoop, be small, humble themselves in the presence of the child they knew was greater, they recognized, was greater than they. They had humility, and they knelt and gave their gifts expressing in a way their humility. Our calling, like theirs, is an invitation to live a humble life, resting secure in the knowledge of God's love for us. He knows, He made us, we belong to Him. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up.